ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
You know, I'm going to read from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and there's a couple of reasons. One is that we're just coming up to Nrisimha Chaturdasi. It's a very important day because it's the day that Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared in this world. And one of the other reasons is that every year we make a goal to read from the seventh canto and the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisimhadeva just before the appearance of the Lord. So today, to help fulfill that vow, I've picked out four verses from the seventh canto, and I'm going to comment on them and make just a couple points from each that hopefully are practical enough that we can apply in our own lives. Is that all right? The first verse is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7.6.24. And this verse comes in the chapter called Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates. And Prahlad Maharaj came from the womb of Hiranyakashipu's wife. And he was actually saved by Narada because Narada knew that he would appear and that he would be a pure devotee. Even though Indra and his associates had captured Hiranyakashipu's wife and was going to hold her until the child was born and then kill the child, because they figured if Hiranyakashipu was such a demon, then his child would be a super demon. And it makes logical sense, but Narada Muni told Indra that, no, this is a devotee, and Indra accepted. And Prabhupada says, this is how the parampara works, that you accept from a higher authority that this is the way something is, because you can't see it for yourself. So Prahlad Maharaj was a saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, and he gave many instructions that we can live by, astounding, very penetrating instructions. Just when he was 5 years old, he gave these instructions to his classmates. And many of them have to do with our relationship to the material world. And I just want to tell you something I read when I was traveling in Japan that really impressed me. And that was a verse from Gajendra, because I was reading the eighth canto in Japan. And in Gajendra's prayers, he mentions how it's hard to figure out this material world. Do you find that to be true? It's a little confusing. Like, why am I here? What's my duty? People ask all kinds of questions about the material world. Some people say, try to make it the material world. Other people say that, you'll never make it in the material world. There are myriad philosophies. Just go through the library. You'll see everyone has something to say about how to make it in the world. Some people say all these philosophies are just a waste of time and a distraction, so people don't have to think about the fact that they have to die. And then many people have ideas and philosophies about what death means and what happens after death and so forth. But Gajendra said, just take it from higher authority that the material world is not our home and you should leave it. And Prabhupada points out in his purport that, yes, the material world is a confusing place, and it's hard to figure out what to do and what not to do. But one thing you should take as a certainty, and that is, this is not your home. And you have full permission to use all your energies to leave this material world and go back home, back to Godhead, because that is the order of the higher authorities. And you could take it from them. Just as Indra took it from Narada that there's a saintly person in this womb, we should also take higher knowledge from those who are beyond the modes of material nature. So let's look at this verse. I'll say, please repeat. Tasmat sarveshu bhuteshu rayam kurata saurhatam bhavam asuram unmucha yaya tushyat yadhoksajaha. Tasmat, therefore, sarveshu, to all, bhuteshu, living entities, Dayam, mercy. Kurata, show. Sohritam, friendliness. Bhavam, the attitude. Asaram, of the demons who separate friends and enemies. Unmucha, giving up. Yaya, by which Tushyati is satisfied. Atoksajaha, the Supreme Lord who is beyond the perception of the senses. Translation, therefore, my dear young friends born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord who is beyond the conception of material knowledge will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. Let's say all together. Therefore, my dear young friends born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyashchasmi tatvataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is only by devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj ultimately instructed his class friends, the sons of the demons, to accept the process of devotional service by preaching the science of Krishna consciousness to everyone. Preaching is the best service to the Lord. The Lord will immediately be extremely satisfied with one who engages in this service of preaching Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 18:69. Nachatasman manusheshu kashchan me priyakritamaha. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. If one sincerely tries his best to spread Krishna consciousness by preaching the glories of the Lord and His supremacy, even if he is imperfectly educated, he becomes the dearmost servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is bhakti. This is bhakti. As one performs this service for humanity without discrimination between friends and enemies, the Lord becomes satisfied and the mission of one's life is fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised everyone to become a guru devotee. Become a what? And preach Krishna consciousness. Jare dako tare koho Krishna upadesh. That is the easiest way to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By such preaching, the preacher becomes satisfied, and those to whom he preaches are also satisfied. This is the process, or process if you're from Canada, of bringing peace and tranquility to the entire world. Bhuktaram jagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richiti. One is expected to understand these three formulas of knowledge concerning the Supreme Lord, that He is the Supreme Enjoyer, that He is the proprietor of everything, and that He is the best well-wisher and friend of everyone. A preacher should personally understand these truths and preach them to everyone. To whom?
Everyone.
Then there will be peace and tranquility all over the world. The word sauridam, friendliness, is very significant in this verse. People are generally ignorant of Krishna consciousness, and therefore to become their best well-wisher, one should teach them about Krishna consciousness without discrimination. Since the Supreme Lord Vishnu is situated in the core of everyone's heart, every body is a temple of Vishnu. What's every body? Now that's profound. Every body is a temple of Vishnu. You don't have to go very far to find a temple of Vishnu, do you? You could go to China, you can find a temple of Vishnu, you know, every square inch. So many people there. The devotees who are Madhyama Adhikaris begin to see the walking mandir. They see the Lord in the heart, and they see that the living entity is there traveling on this body. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that tridashara janachishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. This is a yantra, and the living entity is simply traveling on that. Since the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, is situated in the core of everyone's heart, every body is a temple of Vishnu, one should not misuse this understanding as an excuse for such words as Jaridra Narayan. If Narayan lives in the house of a Jaridra, a poor man, this does not mean that Narayan becomes poor. He lives everywhere, in the houses of the poor and those of the rich. But in all circumstances, he means Narayan. To think that he becomes either poor or rich is a material calculation. He is always Sat Aishvarya, Aishvarya Purna, full in six opulences in all circumstances. So this purport, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says that everyone should become a guru devotee. This guru means heavy, it also means teacher. And there are a few qualifications for someone to become a guru devotee. Kiba vipra kiba nasi shudra kainin noi ye krishna tattva veto she guru hoy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, doesn't matter what your external situation is. Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kena noi means you could be a shudra or a sannyasi or a brahmana, twice born person. Doesn't matter. If you know the science of Krishna, then you're to be considered guru. So first is, one should know the science of Krishna. The best way to do this is to memorize the Bhagavad Gita. You should memorize the whole Bhagavad Gita by cramming the Bhagavad Gita constantly. Every day you should read the Bhagavad Gita. Every day you should hear the Bhagavad Gita. When you drive in your car, you should have somebody sit next to you and read the Bhagavad Gita to you in your ear. When you're driving through the desert, you should have the Bhagavad Gita playing so you can hear it. When you go on the airplane, you should be listening to the Bhagavad Gita. When you stand in line at the post office, you should read the Bhagavad Gita. When you go to the doctor's office, you should read the Bhagavad Gita while you're waiting for the doctor who's taken his or her time because they really don't care so much about what time they get to you. There are unlimited opportunities we have, or maybe not unlimited. We have a limited number of opportunities. We should fill those in with hearing from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the ultimate science of Krishna consciousness, taught in such a succinct way that it's lasted thousands of years, and great sages and all the acharyas have commented on the Bhagavad Gita. Who wouldn't want to memorize that book? 700 tiny little verses, easy to recite. If you can remember C++ or what's that other one? I always forget. Java. Then, for goodness sakes, you can memorize the Bhagavad Gita. It's only going to take you a year or two if you really put your mind to it. If you memorize a few verses a day, your brain will grow and you'll become a great pundit. And you'll become famous too. There's not many people that know the whole Bhagavad Gita. You should be one of them. Cram Bhagavad Gita. Always read Bhagavad Gita, always hear Bhagavad Gita. And if you know, and if you can't do that, and you just know 50 verses from the Bhagavad Gita, 50 main verses, you can still become a world-class teacher and bring up these main verses from Bhagavad Gita. And if you just know, if you can't memorize any verses, but you know the philosophy behind Bhagavad Gita, and you have great devotion for the Bhagavad Gita, you can also be a teacher of Bhagavad Gita. Not only that, you should learn the Bhagavatam and the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Nectar of Devotion. And if you learn those books and throw in the Sri Upanishad, which doesn't take a lot of effort, it just means you have to be sincere and read them every day and study them whenever you get the opportunity and sometimes take a month off and read them as deeply as possible, then you'll know the science of Krishna consciousness. There's no more important science to know in this world, because it's the only thing lacking in the world is this knowledge of Krishna. So become a guru devotee means dedicate yourself, and you have a particular body of literature that's been given to us. It's a bequeathment. It's been passed down to us. Prabhupada painstakingly put these particular books together, and it's enough. You can't come to the end of the Bhagavatam, even if you try really hard. And you can't come to the end of the Gita or the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there's no need for anything else. If you read these several books that we have really carefully and you study it and get to know it, then you'll know that you'll become conversant with the science of Krishna consciousness, and you'll become a guru devotee. But there's more. You have to also have sadachar. Sadachar means that you behave properly, and it's really hard you have to practice a lot throughout your life to have dominion over your senses. And this is the first qualification that Rupa Goswami mentions in his Upadeshamrita. Vacho vegam manasakrodha vegam chiho vegam udarapasta vegam etan vegam yo visheheta dhira sarvam api mam priti vimnasisha. You become a spiritual master if you can have dominion over your senses. You have to be able to control yourself, control the lower self by the higher self. That takes practice and realization. It takes practice, it takes discipline, and it takes a lifetime of regulating the senses. As Krishna says, raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atmavashar vidhyatmam prasadam adigachati. If you simply learn to regulate the senses according to the scriptural injunctions and the injunctions of the spiritual master, you get the complete mercy of the Lord. And shaknoti haiva yashodhum praksharira vimokshanat kama krodot bhavam begam sayukta sa sukhinaraha. Sukhinara, you become a happy human if you're able to control the senses before you leave this body, Krishna says. Praksharira, before you give up the body. Learn to control the senses. So if you learn the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, and you also develop sadachar, good behavior, which also means learning how to respect devotees. You have to have the right etiquette in life. You have to know how to show respect to devotees and various classes of devotees. This is also included in sadachar. And you have to control the senses, follow the four regulative principles, not fall down. And you have to be faithful to the parampara. Be true to your school. That means have some dedication to your guru and have some dedication to the guru parampara that brought you this knowledge. And serve them and be loyal to them no matter what else happens in life, and stick to that. If you do these few things, then you become a guru devotee. Of course, anyone can preach Krishna consciousness. But if you want to preach with great effect, you have to practice these things. What are the three things? Let's use the microphone, because then people at home can hear. One thing is?
Kram Bhagavad Gita.
Kram Bhagavad Gita, wherever you go. Can we do that?
Yes.
Did you ever cram anything else?
Yes.
Did you cram C++?
Yes.
Did you cram Java?
Yes.
What else did you cram?
SQL.
What else?
Python.
Yeah, where it crammed you. Cram Bhagavad Gita before the Python crams you. Python of death. Yeah, you can cram these things. You can get flashcards. How else do you cram? You read all the time, you hear all the time. Take an interest in it. Read all the commentary. Get into it. Read it. It's Bhagavad Gita, for heaven's sake. I mean, it's been around for thousands of years, and there's only a few people on the planet who have ever taken it seriously. Be one of those people. Be famous. Nobody's famous for Java. But people who know Bhagavad Gita, even if they come from an insignificant background, if they know Gita, if they know 50 verses from the Gita, they're worshipable people. Cram Bhagavad Gita. And if you know Bhagavatam, that's off the charts. I mean, if you can learn Bhagavatam, just some, you know, what is the essence of Bhagavatam? What does it mean? And you know your way around a little bit of Bhagavatam, you're well on your way becoming a guru devotee. What are the other points that you have to become a guru devotee? Prabhupada says, become a guru devotee. What kind of devotee?
Guru devotee. Faithful to the parampara.
Yeah, be faithful from parampara. You brought that up with such enthusiasm. Why did you bring it up with such enthusiasm? Why did you remember it? Why did you like it so much? Because and look, Sundar Ananda came in, so things are going to get lively any minute now. All right, go ahead.
Because, you know, sometime when you started reading, you're learning a lot, you started having your own mental speculations. So you started thinking, I become learned or, you know, something. That could enter in my mind, you know, people's brain. So I just thought...
That's a good point you made. As Prabhupada brings up about realization, he says that one should not try to screw out any separate meaning that is given by the acharya. One should adapt it to the local language and present it in such a way that it's palatable or can be appreciated by the particular people that one's speaking to, and that's called realization. But one should not try to supersede the acharya and come out with some, oh, here's a new meaning, or, you know, I know a little more than that. And this can happen easily if someone, Prabhupada says, little Sanskrit learning is dangerous. People learn Sanskrit, they look at a few commentaries, and they say, oh, yeah, I got this down, I can do this better than my guru, and so forth. But, yascha devi para bhaktir yata devi tata garo tasyaite katita hyarta prakashanti mahatmanaha. The Shastra says that one has to have this loyalty to one's guru and to Krishna, and by that, one gets the realized knowledge. One actually gets the siddhanta right. And it's not just by academic learning. We say Kram Bhagavad Gita and everything like that, but if you're not faithful, you'll get it wrong. You become, the knowledge gets stolen. Krishna won't let you have it if you're not devotional to your guru and if you're not devotional to Krishna and you try to supersede, then you'll just get it wrong. You'll know every verse in the world, but you'll get it wrong. You won't know what it means. But if you're a simple person, you don't even know how to read or write, but you listen because you have faith in your guru, the parampara, and you listen carefully and you have faith, then you'll get it right. And you can teach it to other people because you have such loyalty and faith. Thank you for bringing that up. What else?
Sadachar is the next one, which Prabhupada talks about the discipline. And you told that how controlling the senses is the first qualification to become a guru devotee. But I have a question that it really takes a long time to do it from heart, because sometimes we see that even after so much practice, senses are like serpents, as you said, and means even mentally, it's very difficult. Even though we had done so many things in our childhood and nice family, this that, but still senses show their nature one day. So how
don't be too hard on yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself, because we've been in the material world for a long time, according to the Shastra, and there are a lot of deep-seated impressions that don't go away very quickly. Pardon? LMS. LMI. Lingering mental impressions. Is that correct?
Yes.
There's a lot of LMI hanging around. And it takes a while. It takes a while. And so be patient. You have to be patient and trust the process. And there are anartas within the heart, very difficult to go away. They're very pesky, to say the least. But Krishna can destroy them. You know, he killed big, what was he? Wasn't a duck, but a heron. Bakasura, the heron, right? A heron. The big heron, big beaks, but he's dangerous. He killed a lot of people. Krishna broke his beak in half. He bifurcated him. He was just a little coward boy, but he grabbed this huge demon and he just tore him in half. And he killed other demons too. Aristasura, he treated him like a wet dish rag. He smacked him on the floor so hard and just wrung him around. Big, powerful bull. He killed Putana, who was dangerous. She put deadly poison on her breasts. Krishna killed her like that. He's just a little baby. Shakatashura, his little soft lotus foot. He kicked that cart so hard, it broke into pieces, and all the pots and pans went spreading all over the territory. And Krishna, even as a baby, he's so powerful. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says he can destroy these anartas. So you got to hear Krishna's pastimes and pray to Krishna, and he can take away the anartas. It can actually happen in a lifetime. That if one applies oneself to the process of Krishna consciousness, one can see for oneself that anartas are actually going away. Tada rajas tamo bhava kamalobhadayascheye chetate anavidam stitam sattve prasidati. The appearance of Shuddha Sattva, the appearance of the spiritual energy within one's heart. It's all possible. And Prabhupada says, in the pastime of cleansing the Gundicha temple, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did it three times. He cleansed the temple once, twice, three times. Nobody could see anything left. And then he cleaned outside so the dust wouldn't blow back in. Got to be really careful and got to be really thorough. But it is possible. And then he says, if you clean your heart that much, and then Krishna will, it's a suitable place for Krishna to come and sit down. You can make the altar there, actually. So Krishna can come sit down. He said, then you can hold a festival. Then hold the festival, invite everybody in and say, okay, let's celebrate. That's worth celebrating. All the other things, they're like, you know, minor compared to that. Establishing a temple in your heart, making your heart clean enough so Krishna can actually sit there. Then you can enjoy life all the time, 24 hours a day. Chant Hare Krishna, and Krishna appears there in your heart. Swanam, bhava, saroruham. You actually establish a deity in your heart by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes.
What all comes under sadachar?
Sadachar.
What all comes under sadachar?
A good behavior in Krishna consciousness. You should follow the four regulative principles. You should be clean inwardly and outwardly. Regulate the senses. And you should act properly with all the other living entities. For superiors, you should show respect and worship. For those who are equal, you should make appropriate friendships. And for those who are less than you, you should give mercy.
Thank you.
And amongst Vaishnavas, you should know the different classes of Vaishnav. If someone says Hare Krishna one time in your mind, you should offer them no obeisances in your mind. If someone is advanced enough to take initiation, you should offer obeisances to them with your body. Put your head down. And if someone you see someone very advanced who's nindadi shunya, whose heart is no longer afflicted by envy and trying to drag other people down for the sake of looking better than him or herself, that person you should serve, you should try to be around that person and so forth. So there's different ways that one should associate with the devotees of the Lord. Okay, so guru devotee, this is the recommendation of Prahlad Maharaj, and also in this verse he talks about the best way to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it's by preaching. It's by going out of your way to give Krishna consciousness to others. There's no better way to prosecute Krishna consciousness than to organize your life around the principle of giving mercy to other living entities, serving all living entities by widely spreading the holy names and the Bhagavad Gita. We have it in printed matter. I talked about it for about a half an hour or more at the beginning, just this very specific service that Prabhupada gave us. And if we do that, will please Krishna very quickly. And years just go by. Just absorb yourself in that. There's no better kind of service that you can do, ultimately. And all the services are absolute, but they're all focused in our Krishna consciousness movement on giving mercy to the living entities, ultimately. Now I'm going to read another purport, and that is 7728. Tasmat bhavadbhi kartavyam karanam tri gunatmanam bija nirharanam yoga pravaho paramo paramo diyaha. Translation: therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the demons, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness, which can burn the seed of fruit of activities artificially created by the modes of material nature, and stop the flow of intelligence in wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. In other words, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, his ignorance is immediately dissipated. Let's all repeat. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the demons, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness, which can burn the seed of fruitive activities artificially created by the modes of material nature, and stop the flow of the intelligence in wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. In other words, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, his ignorance is immediately dissipated. Purport. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuya yakalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. By the practice of bhakti yoga, one immediately comes to the spiritual platform, transcendental to the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. The root of ignorance is material consciousness, which must be killed by spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. The word bija nirharanam refers to burning the root cause of material life to ashes. In the Medini dictionary, yoga is explained by its result, yoge purvarta sampraptau sangati dhyana yuktishu. When one is put into an awkward position because of ignorance, the process by which one can be freed from this entanglement is called yoga. This is also called liberation. Mukti hitva yata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. Mukti means giving up one's position in ignorance or illusion, by which one thinks in a way contrary to his constitutional position. Returning to one's constitutional position is called mukti, and the process by which one does this is called yoga. Thus, yoga is above karma, jnana, and sankhya. Indeed, yoga is the ultimate goal of life. Krishna, therefore, advises Arjuna to become a yogi. Tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. Lord Krishna further advised in Bhagavad Gita that the first-class yogi is he who has come to the platform of devotional service. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatanantaratmana shatavan pajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Bhagavad Gita 6:47. Thus, one who always thinks of Krishna within the core of his heart is the best yogi. By practicing this best of all yoga systems, one is liberated from the material condition. The root cause of ignorance is material consciousness. And one of the features of this ignorance is called false hope. The conditioned soul develops a kind of hopefulness that one way or another things will work out in the material world. And there are various philosophies that lead to that conclusion. Even Karmakanda has this idea that by Vedic rituals, one will get whatever one needs to satisfy the senses and so forth. But Krishna discourages us from this kind of material adjustment, elevationism. He says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, Nirdvanvo Nitya Satvasto, Nir Yoga Shema Atmavan. Be established in the self, the higher self, which is beyond the three modes of material nature, and don't take shelter even of these Vedic rituals that promise all kinds of happiness in the material world, because it's simply a phantasmagoria. You will never be able to attain happiness in the material world whatsoever. So give up false hope. And he also mentions here that material world is an awkward place. We are put into an awkward position because of ignorance. What a word, awkward. How do you spell awkward? Somebody spell it for me without looking, please. Even spelling it is awkward, isn't it? Awkward. Awkward. And, you know, he was awkward. We feel awkward here in the material nature because this is not our original place. And through the process of yoga, which Prabhupada describes here as the way to kill ignorance and rise to one's original glory, one can come to that position by pramanais tat sadacharais tarabhyasair nirantaram bodhayanat manatmanam paktim apyutamam labet. One has to take help from the scripture to direct one's life, and one should act properly, sadachar, and one should practice. One has to practice the tenets given by the acharyas. Specifically, you follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process of bhakti yoga, and by that, one can realign oneself with one's real self-interest, and become free from this illusory alignment with the material world. It's just insanity. So that's called yoga, and that's altogether attainable through the process of bhakti. Our problem is a perceptional problem. We're seeing things in the wrong way because the mind is polluted. The mind is distorted. It's compared to a mirror sometimes. And if you look at a distorted mirror, you'll see yourself as fat, skinny, or as a monster. If you look at a mirror that's distorted, you'll think, I look like a monster. It can ruin your whole day. You look at yourself and you think, oh, I'm 20 pounds overweight, or even two, that'll get you. And you just see it and you think, like, I look terrible. But it's your perception that's off. It's the medium that you're looking at that's off. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, clear the medium, cheto darpana marjanam. And when your perception is correct, the mind is in the mode of goodness. And when the mind becomes cleared of this distortion, then one perceives the world in the proper way, and then there's peace of mind. Even one can overcome death, because death is a misperception. I'm perceiving that I'm this body and that I have to give up my body and all my possessions, and therefore I freak out because it's because I'm attached and because I'm perceiving something incorrectly. Therefore, bhayam dvitiya binibeshita syad ishad apetasya viparyayosmitihi. There's fear because I have a misperception that I'm the body. But through yoga, one actually comes to see for oneself that I'm not the body. I'm something beyond the body. And the mind is simply concocting. And just like in a dream, you see, last night I actually had a dream that the Germans took over America. I woke up and told Nicole, I dreamed that the Germans took over America. And I was a little disturbed about it. I was thinking, what am I going to do now? But when I woke up, I saw there's no Germans around here. Why would they take over America anyway at this point? But still, in my dreaming state, I was a little bit anxious about the situation. And so this whole material experience I'm having is a dreamlike state. And when I wake up from the dream and I see things properly, there's no problem. I actually have no problem. Asango hyayam purusha, the living entity has no real connection to the material nature. And when I give up the proprietorship of the body, the ownership of all the things in relationship to the body, my sense of ownership of all these kinds of things, and I point my attention towards my real spiritual identity, there's no problem when I see things correctly. Sattva means to see existence as it is and see things as they are, those things that actually exist, and be able to distinguish it between that and the temporary. So yoga is the means to do this, and this perfect yoga system has to do with having the emotion for Krishna. When one has emotional attachment to something or someone, one can think of that person all the time. So bhakti yoga teaches us how to develop an emotion for Krishna. Transfer the emotions we have for the material world to attachment to Krishna, emotional attachment to Krishna. That's pretty powerful. Yes.
I just had a question on the translation. It says that Krishna consciousness, it stops the flow of the intelligence in wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. So I didn't get it, like, stops the flow of intelligence.
Yeah. There's a way in which it refers to intelligence related to the mode of passion through which one is calculating how to adjust one's material situation. In fact, it's described by Kapila Dev, mind is in the mode of goodness, and the intelligence is in the mode of passion. Why? Because intelligence means to make material distinctions and to say this is better than that and try to improve oneself in the material world. When one comes to the spiritual platform, one realizes there's nothing to improve. I exist, and that's I always exist. There's I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to become something. I already am something. I already exist eternally, so what else is there to do? You go beyond that passionate intelligence that is calculating how to stake one's claim here in the material world and improve things to make an adjustment so that I can improve my material situation. Okay, so now let's move on to a couple more points. Comments of what you heard from this verse or the description of it. Yes. She passed her the microphone. We'd like to have all the guests on the internet be able to hear what she has to say.
Thank you, Prabhuji. That's very enlightening. I'm wondering if what you're talking about, the stop the flow of intelligence and wakefulness, dreaming and sleep state, is something like the hamster on a wheel where it's kind of constantly chasing its own perceptions and misperceptions, and therefore diluting our own understanding of our true self.
I like the way you put things. That's a very graphic image of material life simply running on a wheel like a hamster. And to the person who's a pet owner, is that what you call them? A pet owner for the hamster. Anybody here have a hamster? I had a hamster when I was a kid. His name was Snuggles. And Snuggles would run all night long on the wheel. Ring, 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 ring. And there's a way in which in the material world, one's plans, one's ambitions and so forth, from the point of view, from a higher perspective, they're simply running on a hamster wheel. Yeah, that works for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other points? Give up false hope. Okay, next verse is, we're taking as much guidance, a sampling of guidance from Sri Prahlad Maharaj. Now we're going to look at 7, 30 through 31. Guru Shushushaya Bhaktya Sarvalabdhar Paninacha. That's 7, 30 through 31. Sangena Sadhu Paktanam. Okay, we're close to giving your money back for this class. Ishvaradha Naninacha. Ishvara Radhanina Cha Shraya Tat Katayam Cha Kirtanar Gunakarmanam Pat Padam Buruha Dhyanat Talinge Shar Hanadibi. One must accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great devotion and faith. Whatever one has in one's possession should be offered to the spiritual master, and in the association of saintly persons and devotees, one should worship the Lord, hear the glories of the Lord with faith, glorify the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord, and always meditate on the Lord's lotus feet. And worship the deity of the Lord strictly according to the injunctions of the Shastra and Guru. Purport. In the previous verse, it has been said that the process which immediately increases one's love and affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best of the many thousands of ways to become free from the entanglement of material existence. It is also said, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. Actually, the truth of religious principles is extremely confidential. Nonetheless, it can be understood very easily if one actually adopts the principles of religion. As it is said, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The process of religion is enunciated by the Supreme Lord because he is the supreme authority. This is also indicated in the previous verse by the word bhagavatoditaha. The injunctions or directions of the Lord are infallible and their benefits are fully assured. According to his directions, which are explained in this verse, the perfect form of religion is bhakti yoga. To practice bhakti yoga, one must first accept a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Rupa Goswami, as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.74-75, advises, Guru Padashrayas Tasmat Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam Vishrampena Guru Seva Sadhu Vartmanuvartanam Saddharma Pritcha Bhogadi Tyaga Krishna Sahetave. One's first duty is to accept a bona fide spiritual master. The student or disciple should be very inquisitive. He should be eager to know the complete truth about eternal religion, Sanatana Dharma. The words Guru Shushushaya means that one should personally serve the spiritual master by giving him bodily comforts, helping him in bathing, dressing, sleeping, eating, and so on. This is called Guru Shushushanam. A disciple should serve the spiritual master as a menial servant, and whatever he has in his possession should be dedicated to the spiritual master. Pranar artar diavacha. Everyone has his life, his wealth, his intelligence, and his words, and all of them should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the via medium of the spiritual master. Everything should be offered to the spiritual master as a matter of duty, but the offering should be made to the spiritual master with heart and soul, not artificially to gain material prestige. This offering is called arpana. Moreover, one should live among devotees, saintly persons, to live the etiquette and proper behavior of devotional service. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that whatever is offered to the spiritual master should be offered with love and affection, not for material adoration. Similarly, it is recommended that one associate with devotees, but there must be some discrimination. Actually, a sadhu, a saintly person, must be saintly in his behavior. Sadhava sat achara. Achara. Unless one adheres to the standard behavior, one's position as a sadhu, a saintly person, is not complete. Therefore, Vaishnava, a sadhu, must completely adhere to the standard of behavior. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that a Vaishnava, a person initiated into the Vaishnava cult, should be offered the respect befitting a Vaishnav, which means that he should be offered service and prayers. However, one should not associate with him if he is not a fit person with whom to associate. Would you like to give some feedback? Anything that you heard that stuck? Yes. Oh, okay, go ahead.
I just feel that there's a very common saying which I guess applies, one eventually becomes the company we keep. So if you're truly...
One eventually becomes what?
One eventually becomes the company we keep.
A what? Company?
We eventually become the company we keep.
Oh, we become the company we keep, yes.
So if you're truly wanting to be true devotees of the Lord and we're truly wanting to be spiritual and saintly, then you really have to seek that company.
Yes, very good point. And in another purport, Prabhupada says that one's ambitions and desires arise from the company that one keeps. ambitions and desires. We have ambition for one thing or another and desires for this or that, but it arises from association. It can happen very quickly also. So one has to be discriminating, and that's one of the key words in this purport is discrimination. You have to be careful when you move around in this world. Janasangha, those who are optimistic about their place in the material world and have great hope, great false hope for enjoying the material world and so forth, are not the right persons for Vaishnavas to associate with. Although we respect everyone, and even amongst the Vaishnavas, Prabhupada points out here, there may be some that don't have proper behavior, and therefore one should respect them from a distance and not take their association very closely. If you're in association that is not helping you, then get an upgrade. Put in for an upgrade. See if you can't use, you know, frequent flyer miles or something like that, and get an upgrade for your association, because if you get upgraded association, then you'll upgrade your consciousness and your standard of devotional service very quickly. It's one of the great secrets of devotional service. Vishakha Leela.
I like the point where Srila Prabhupada stressed about serving the spiritual master with affection, love and affection, not for material adoration.
Yeah, and it's a very personal description there also. I noted that there's something very important about, it like mentions serving the body of the spiritual master, taking care of, in doing menial service, personal things like that. There's a kind of deep relationship that's formed through that. And one also, there are prayers that one says in Archana Padati. For instance, when one begins one's puja, one should offer first worship to the spiritual master before one worships Krishna. And there's a very interesting verse from our Archana Padati, which talks about how the spiritual master has two hands, two legs, a head, and so forth. It's not something impersonal. There's actually a person there. There's a local relationship that one has that grows into a conduit that brings one closer and closer to Krishna. Yes, what else did you hear from this information-packed verse and purport? Yes.
I was also thinking how in the last part, like how we serve the Guru Shushrushaya, it also means that we cannot skip the line, like because the services are very physical and it happens with the person who's live, like living with us. So it negates the point of like skipping back.
Yeah, because a lot of religions have this idea of the you just worship the past guru, not the present. Most of the religious traditions in the world come up with this. Christian lines there in the Islam and things like that. There was a last prophet in a lot of places. Now, that was the last one. There's no more after that. And Muhammad's the last prophet. And Jesus is the only one. That's the only guru in the line, except in the Catholicism. They have this disciplic succession and so forth. But in Gaudiya Vaishnava, it's very personal that one has local kind of connection with devotees. And it helps if you actually live with somebody, serve somebody who's advanced, then you start developing the same qualities as that person. It's actually important. There's a transference. And it's also notable, I mean, why is the service important? Because when you serve somebody, you get what's in their heart. If you serve selflessly, that person's heart opens to you, and the contents come out. People keep what's in their heart very guarded unless they really trust somebody. You can't know somebody philosophically. You can't know somebody by snooping around either and looking at their stuff. Like the Gyanis, they're just trying to like check out God, you know, like philosophically, snooping around and seeing where he's at. But the bhaktas, they come in this way, and that very locally, I'll serve your servants. And practically speaking, bhavadvita bhagavatas tirta bhuta swayam vibho tirta kurvanti tirtani svantaksena gadabrita. Bhagavatam proclaims, Yudhishthira says, that the devotees carry the personality of Godhead within their heart. Actually, even more than that, they carry love for Krishna within their heart. Our objective goal isn't Krishna, it's love for Krishna. Why we avoid the 10 offenses we say in the morning? To attain the highest goal, which is? Krishna prema. So we're looking at Krishna prema. Who has Krishna prema? Does Krishna have it, or does devotees have it?
Devotees
have it. So the one thing Bhagavatam also mentions is that Krishna loves his devotees more than anything. They're his tadiya. And tadiyanam samarchanam. The highest kind of worship of Krishna's paraphernalia. The best of all Krishna's paraphernalia is his devotees. Even Krishna's trying to serve his devotees, but devotees will never allow Krishna to serve him, to serve them. And therefore, if we serve the devotees, then Krishna becomes especially pleased with us. So if you do menial service for the devotees, you actually do what Krishna wants to do, but he can't. And so it fulfills his desire in a very special way. Service to the devotees, menial service to devotees. It's very important. Yes. And you can tell when you come into a culture of devotees where there's this etiquette, respectfulness. I mean, Prabhupada is our founder, Acharya, who we keep in the center of everything. But that doesn't mean that after that, there's just a steep drop-off and everybody's the same after that. That doesn't work either. There has to be a sense. I mean, the Shastra gives this nuance that there are various levels of devotees. Yes, Prabhupada is the one at whose feet all the masters sit. That's how our organization is able to organize itself and stay, you know, spiritually sound by staying at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. It was the unassailed, most advanced devotee of all time that we can see. So after that, however, it doesn't mean that everybody's equal, everybody's the same. There's a culture in Gaudiya Vaishnavism where we see these various, we make discrimination, as Prabhupada is saying in this verse, how to treat the various kinds of devotees. And within that, mercy flows down. It comes down through that process of respecting the more advanced devotees and rendering service and so forth. And then we can advance in devotional service. And etiquette is very important because in the heat of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, there may be friction, right?
Yes.
In relationships, there's always some kind of friction that comes up. So you have to be careful. All right, Prabhu. At least you said Prabhu. You know, and then you remind yourself, oh yeah, that's my master I'm screaming at. And you have to be a little careful because you also don't want to offend devotees on any level. You have to be very careful. And the etiquette is a little bit of a guard that you keep that there so you don't cross a line and become overly familiar with Vaishnavas and assume that they are just ordinary people because they're very dear to Krishna in whatever level they're at. Okay, so now I'm going to read the last verse since our time is just seeping away. Okay, this is 7741. And while he's, wow, that was fast. I was going to say, while he's looking for that, let's welcome everybody who's joined us on the internet tonight from various places around the world. Let's please give him a warm Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna!
Thanks for joining us. It's so satisfying to be connected all together. Okay, text 41. Yadartha iha karmani. Vidvan man asakrindaraha. Krot yato viparyasam amogham vindate palam. A materialistic person thinking himself very advanced in intelligence continually acts for economic development. But again and again, as enunciated in the Vedas, he is frustrated by material activities either in this life or in the next. Indeed, the results one obtains are inevitably the opposite of those one desires. Everyone, this is a crowd pleaser. Everyone loves this verse. Purport: no one has ever achieved the results he desired from material activities. Shall I repeat it? No one has ever achieved the results he desired from material activities. On the contrary, everyone has been frustrated again and again. Therefore, one must not waste his time in such material activities for sensual pleasure, either in this life or in the next. So many nationalists, economists, and other ambitious persons have tried for happiness individually and collectively, but history proves that they have all been frustrated. In recent history, we have seen many political leaders work hard for individual and collective economic development, but they have all failed. This is the law of nature, as clearly explained in the next verse. So there's a dichotomy in this world between contentment and acquisition. Sometimes people think acquisition means contentment, but actually things don't make us happy. And contentment's an interesting word. I mean, content. What's your content? Actually, content in your heart. What really makes us happy is a taste for hearing and chanting. Because if you have a taste for hearing and chanting, it doesn't matter if you're in a boat or a car or a van or an airplane or a big house or a small house, you can make a space where you can hear and chant. If you get a little place where you can sit down and hear in the association of devotees, and that makes you happy, and you don't need anything else besides that, you're actually the wealthiest person on the planet. So you should try to get that. Don't think about acquiring more, because the more you get, the more anxiety you get in, because you got to figure out what to do with all the stuff. I mean, you can't have everything, because where would you put it? And the fact is that every little extra thing we take into our lives causes us more anxiety. You have to think about, what am I going to do with this now? How am I going to get rid of that? So develop this sense of contentment, and real contentment comes from hearing the Bhagavatam. If you can develop a taste for the Bhagavatam and for chanting the Maha Mantra and connecting to Krishna through the Maha Mantra, then you can be satisfied no matter where you are in all circumstances. Okay, so there's this also, this mantra, what God has given me is enough. Whatever God's given me is enough. And yadrichya labha santushto. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, have this thing, whatever God gives me, that's enough. If you can be satisfied with what comes as from God, he just gives it to you. Just be satisfied with that. Don't try for acquisition. Because you'll notice in history, people have become very expert at acquisition. You know, there's all these mergers that take place in modern times. You get a big company, and what are you going to do? Merge and get a bigger one. United or Continental bought United, or United bought, or they merged together, whatever. And it hasn't made a better airline, I must tell you that. It's just harder to get upgrades. Somebody else taking all the seats now from Continental. I don't know what it is. But there's a constant push by the motive passion to try to get more. No matter what it is, I got to get more. If somebody gives you $1 million, as soon as you get it, in fact, as soon as you hear about it, you're going to get $1 million inheritance. By the morning time, you're going to be in complete anxiety. Not even that. That night when you're falling asleep, you're going to think, well, that $1 million already spent. Besides that, isn't half of it tax? I mean, is it taxable? I only get half of it. Darn. And then you start feeling anxiety that I only get half. And then, you know, other people will get envious of you because you acquired something that they didn't get. And no matter where you go in the material world, acquisition just doesn't work. But contentment, going for contentment actually works. And being satisfied with what God gives you makes you happy. And one of the ways to do that is to learn to give charity. Learn to do sacrifice. Because when you do sacrifice, when you give away what you already have, then you'll notice that actually I'm still okay, I'm still alive, and actually I still have that thing. because it's just a thought anyway. I'm concocting that I have things. Things don't really exist anyway. Ask anybody who studied physics. The whole idea that you have something concrete that exists, that you hold, is just an illusion. The house that you think is your house, the country that you think is your country, all the things in your house that you think are concrete, permanent, they're not. They're simply a combination of various energies of the Lord, and they belong to Him. And if you can detach yourself from that and learn to use them in His service and give them away in charity for a higher purpose, that actually you get the result of giving them away, and that you get to keep permanently. But the things will always move out of our grasp. So there's an addiction in the material mindset to proprietorship and to control. I want to control things. I want to control the outcome. But destiny is much stronger than that. That's why I get in anxiety, because I'm trying to control the outcome, but I can't. Have you ever tried to control the outcome? And it moves in a different direction. Then you start thinking, you know, why is it moving against me? But one thing to understand, according to Bhishma Dev's philosophy, the philosophy we hear in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam over and over again, and throughout the Vaishnav scriptures, is that actually destiny is created by Krishna, and Krishna is our friend. So when the world moves against me and I'm not getting what I desire, I should actually see that actually Krishna is moving me towards my real self-interest. I don't know what's good for me. I don't know how to control. I can't control anything. But the way the world's moving is actually for my own benefit. So accept it. And proprietorship, Ishavasamidam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena chak tena bunjita magridha kasusudanam. Finished. Everything animate or inanimate within the universe. That covers everything, doesn't it? It's controlled and owned by the Lord. That covers. Trevor, this is a tight contract. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for oneself, which are set aside as one's quota, and one should not accept other things knowing well to whom they belong. And there's a little signature area at the bottom of this contract that you can sign. Doesn't it sound like a contract? Have you ever got a mortgage before for a house or something like that? They make you sign about 50 times. Did you do that? Get your house? Yeah. So this is a contract you sign. It comes right out of the Upanishads. And it says, everything animate or inanimate within the universe, controlled and owned by the Lord. And therefore, you shouldn't claim proprietorship over it. That's a fair contract to sign, right? You walk through the world without trying to control and without trying to claim proprietorship over everything. And then you'll be happy. Otherwise, you're just going to get reversals at every step of the way. Now we'll take a few comments. Comment means reflection. Yes. She needs a microphone within 3 seconds or less, or money back from this.
Namaskar, Krishna, and everyone. You made a very good point, and I wanted to add to this, and that's a very common saying in Bengal, where I am coming from, and they say you can have and pretend to have all the controls and controlling the outcome, but Lord, that Krishna power actually has the key to that lock. And once we understand that, that automatically leads us to that detachment of all the surroundings that we belong in this world.
Thank you very much. Some good stuff coming from the back of the room tonight. Okay, other reflections? Anything you heard that stuck in your mind? Yes. Don't we? We have more of them. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Speaking about Krishna as my friend, reiterating what you said in the beginning of the class, it's so pacifying knowing that Krishna has a personal form, so we can better serve him, we can express ourselves to him, and it's all through reading Prabhupada's books and distributing the holy name. So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we talked about that in the beginning, and just how people all over the world talk about God, but there's an amorphous concept, impersonal, an energy. But when Krishna says, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto, think of me, who are you going to think of? How are you going to think of Krishna? And Krishna comes out and says, here I am, here's my form. And the Bhagavatam, we hear from the very beginning that without hearing the very specific details about God, about Krishna and his pastimes, we'll remain attached to the material world. We won't be able to give it up. You have to have that very specific information. And to some people, it's almost too much in the beginning to hear about God as a person, because that sounds like a lot of competition, for one thing. Because I'm a person, and my idea is that I'm the supreme person. That's how I live my life, because I want to control and have proprietorship over everything. But actually, he's the supreme controller and proprietor. If I relegate him to an impersonal form, then that's okay. God's up there, we're down here, let's enjoy, no problem. But when you get the very personal idea of God, and you did point out that Prabhupada brought out even the beautiful pictures of the spiritual world that people had never seen before, and that is very captivating. One more? Two more, okay? Two more quick ones, because we're running out of time.
Real contentment comes from reading Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy names. And the other point was that when you serve the devotees of Krishna, the tadiyas, that is actually one which satisfies the soul, pleases Krishna. So
contentment comes from reading Srimad Bhagavatam, also distributing Srimad Bhagavatam. We have 14 more sets to go over the next few days. So I propose that we sponsor them as much as possible. I'll take one. And two, three. And that way we can move ahead. Somebody reminded me this morning, it was Bhajan Narayan Maharaj, who's in charge at our local GBC level to remind everybody about the 10% goal. By the way, the first quarter was amazing in North America. He was saying, don't get too excited and don't rest on your laurels. And also, he was pointing out, you know, UK is catching up to us fast because they had a huge year last year and they're really going for it. So you got to pour on the steam. And I was thinking, we have to do our job here locally to stay way ahead of the pack. So, 14 sets of Bhagavatams. We should sponsor them all before the weekend hits. Everyone just take one, a responsibility for one of them. It's a sacrifice, but it's one that will put us within the, we'll be able to make our goal before Nisringa Chaturdasi, right? Okay, good. One more for Ashrada Devi Dasi. And last point.
Thank you, Maharaj. It's like James of versus all. We had today, actually, I was discussing with one devotee, and then this point came that, okay, now we are seeing that Prabhupada's disciple, they are in their final stage, what will happen, who will be taking over. Then I remember this, previously also you brought this guru devotee, like how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order that everyone should become guru, and now today we explain how is...
Yeah, we talked about becoming the guru devotee.
Yes.
Prabhupada mentioned it, and that was the constant instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in fact his order, everyone become a guru devotee. Big responsibility, but that's the way you actually please the Lord and go back to Godhead. Don't hesitate, just to take full advantage of whatever facility you have and go back home, back to Godhead. Become a guru devotee. Gaur Premanande
Harmarman Nachari Armarman Nachari Armarman Nachari Armarman. Hey! Nachari Armarman Nachari Armarman Nachari Armarman Nachari Armarman.